Iran's foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, said on Monday the Trump administration will end up abiding by the 2015 nuclear deal despite its protest to contrary, because it is the national interest of the United States. Trump has previously said that the 2015 nuclear deal with Iran is a disaster and the worst deal ever negotiated. Unfortunately, the behaviour from the new administration in Washington is not very promising, Zarif told reporters after meeting his Norwegian counterpart. We believe that at the end of the day, they will find it necessary to abide by the deal. He continued to say, I believe the US administration will find it in the interest of the United States, as well as the interest of international peace and security, to live up to its commitments. But to what extent will this change and affect relationships between the US and Iran? Well, joined me now to discuss this story is Professor Francis Boyle, Professor of International Law at the University of Illinois. Hello, Francis.
Hi.
So, firstly, can you briefly outline the 2015 nuclear agreement for our listeners? Who's involved? What are the key aspects of the deal?
Right. Well, first we have to understand that Iran never had nuclear weapons, that this was all propaganda that the Bush administration was using over them as part of the so-called axis of evil. It's very akin to the non-existent weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. It's total baloney. I mean, if you read through all the IAEA reports, which I have, Iran did not have nuclear weapons, did not have a nuclear weapons program. So it was being used, again, like the United States government had used the sanctions against Iraq starting in 1990 until the war against Iraq in, 1991, and then another one in 2003, where we destroyed the country. So these sanctions and these allegations were basically being used as a cudgel over the head of the Islamic Republic of Iran. So we have to view that in this political context. Now, indeed, the two presidents ago, President Khatami, had offered to solve all the problems between Iran and the United States in the Bush administration. Every source of disagreement, I read it. It was a real opening under his Dialogue of Civilizations program in disagreement with this Sam Huntington's Clash of Civilizations. And, of course, Cheney and the neocons trashed the entire thing. So now we have this new president, Rouhani, follower of Khatami, who was just recently reelected, and he has gone back to the Khatami policy, trying to, you know, establish reasonable diplomatic relations with the United States of America. And that is the context for this agreement. Now, I have read the entire agreement, as well as the Security Council resolution related to it. It is a very complicated agreement. It is in English. Obviously, it was drafted by the U.S. State Department lawyers who knew what they were doing. And the critical point is this, to make a long story short. After the agreement came out, there were two competing press conferences, one by U.S. Secretary of State Kerry and the second by the Iranian Foreign Minister Zarif, discussing the overall agreement. Now, I listened very carefully to both press conferences, and it was as if the two of them were talking about two completely different agreements. That, you know, what Kerry was saying was completely inconsistent with what Zarif was saying. So I really, you know, did not know exactly, you know, who was telling the truth there until I actually sat down and read the agreement and the Security Council resolution. And if you go back to the Kerry press conference, it is very clear that everything Kerry said about this agreement being so favorable to the United States is completely true. And I say that as having interviewed you with you before. I'm no Obama administration supporter or anything like that. I'm just trying to look at this these documents objectively as a professor of international law who deal, and I've drafted these types of things myself. Everything Kerry said was true, that this agreement was completely lopsided in favor of the United States of America. Completely. It was almost a total capitulation by Iran to the U.S. Demands. Now, I'm not blaming Iran over this because they never had a nuclear weapons program or capacity in the first place. So basically, they just traded away what they never had in the first place. Of course, they did trade away their nuclear power industry. Okay, that's a separate issue. But they didn't trade away any nuclear weapons program and facilities because they didn't have one. And they did this in the hope and expectation that it would lead to an easing of sanctions on Iran imposed by Europe and the United States, and a gradual lessening of tensions between Iran and the United States.
If the Trump administration commits to actually honoring and supporting this 2015 nuclear deal, could this be the first step in actually strengthening relations between Iran and the U.S.?
I would hope so. And there's no good cause for the terrible relations between the United States and Iran. And, you know, before the Iranian Revolution, we always had good relations with Iran. And I would say certainly by signing this deal that was so lopsided in favor of the United States, that the Ayatollah Khamenei, who approved it, he's the top person over there, and President Rouhani and his administration, you know, sent a signal that they want improved relations with the United States. And that's exactly what the predecessor, President Khatami, did, undoubtedly with Ayatollah Khamenei's approval. Whether the Trump administration is going to take this up, I don't know. Right now, it doesn't look too good. You saw his trip to Saudi Arabia there, where, you know, he's in the hands of a totally reactionary, feudal, religious fundamentalist regime. And, you know, he's attacking Iran. And he's now supporting the Saudis against Qatar. Apparently supporting the Saudis against the Houthis. So right now, it's across the board. It's hard to say precisely what is going to happen here.
Finally, Professor, how does this affect Trump's foreign policy? I know you've just touched upon it, but how does this affect Trump's foreign policy commitments, especially those regarding his commitments to the Middle East in countries such as Saudi Arabia and Israel and Qatar?
Well, this is all tied into it. You know, you see it in the statements I have made. It ties into Israel. It ties into Palestine, Qatar, the GCC, Houthis in Yemen. And I'm not exactly clear that the Trump administration has really sorted all this out. They have a lot of balls in the air right now. The trip to Saudi Arabia there and praising the Wahhabi Saudis and attacking Iran, that, by the way, it just had a democratic election. They reelected Rouhani, and we have to understand Iran does have a democracy. There's no question at all about that. And there, you know, Trump is in cahoots with this, feudal religious fundamentalist dictatorship where they don't even let women drive. So those signs are not good. And there is an enormous amount of vilification of Iran over here, especially by Zionists in Congress and their fellow travelers who have been bought and paid to vilify Iran. and of course in the mainstream news media.
Professor Francis Boyle, Professor of International Law at the University of Illinois, thank you for speaking today on Radio Sputnik.
Thanks again for having me on it.
Alexander South, Sputnik News, signing off.